And the question is what is it that will keep you and me faithful to Jesus, even when our lives are threatened, even if we're faced with paying the ultimate cost? And of course, the answer to that question is love. Not hypothetical, theoretical, academic, or even brotherly love, but agape. Love for Jesus, which is stronger than life itself. Jesus asks you and me the question, do you love me? Do you love me? And I just wanted to ask this morning, how do we move? How do you and I move from filial love to agape love? From a place where we might just admire Jesus to a place of real devotion. From being an acquaintance to self-denying obedience. And I want to ask the question. I want to ask, how do we make that journey? We need to ask the Holy Spirit for fresh revelation. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter replies, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in Matthew's recording of that moment, Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. It was a revelation. We need to ask the Holy Spirit for fresh revelation of who the Lord is, of who he is and of what he has done. I'm not sure, someone said to me the other day, that familiarity breeds contempt. I don't know if familiarity breeds contempt. I'm sure that sometimes it can do. Sometimes it does. But I don't know about you. Do you feel sometimes that we can become so familiar with a Bible reading or certain parts of the Bible that actually the impact, the power of what the Bible is trying to say to us is lost on us because we've become so familiar with it? In John 14, Jesus says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything. Who needs reminding regularly? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here, is given to us to teach us new things. But he's also given to us to remind us about what Jesus has done, what Jesus has said, what Jesus is doing. And I want to ask, do you today, and it was so lovely to hear some of your testimonies, in the midst of all that's going on in your lives and in my life, do you and I today need a fresh revelation of the majesty and the magnificence of our Lord Jesus Christ? I do. I need that almost every single day. A fresh revelation of the majesty and magnificence of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we do, we're to ask for it. We're to ask the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us and reminds us. He's the one who will bring it to our memory. After meditating on the cross, you remember a few weeks ago we placed Ian's lovely cross in the middle of the room and we just gathered around it. Having spent time meditating on the cross, Isaac Watts wrote the best hymn that has ever been written. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. And then he says, were the whole realm of nature mine, it would be an offering far too small, because love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. The power of meditating on the cross. You know Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. Paul says, I keep asking God that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I've used that verse every week so far. I think it's a really important verse. And I pray for you. I pray for us as a church. And Paul says, I keep on praying He's not doing it once. He's not doing it twice. He's doing it almost every day. I keep on praying, as if to say, this is really important. I keep on praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might know him better. Brothers and sisters, how are you feeling? Do you need a fresh revelation of the Lord? I do. We're to ask the Holy Spirit to do that for us, and he will. Secondly, we're to ask the Holy Spirit for a fresh encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. In our reading that Sean read, Peter was feeling very low, wasn't he? He recently let Jesus down badly. He'd gone back to his own ways. Sean read them saying, I'm going fishing. I'm sure he didn't say it like that, actually. I think he said, I'm really grumpy, really fed up, really at a loss. I'm going fishing. And they all said, yeah, we'll come with you. You know, there's something to do together. But they were feeling really low, really fed up. They'd let Jesus down. And they were in the boat, and they'd been fishing all night as if to make their temper even worse. Gosh, they must have been grumpy. And all of a sudden, Jesus meets them. He calls out to them. He fills their nets with fish. He cooks them breakfast. Isn't that fantastic? We believe in a God who will cook you breakfast. And he'll cook me breakfast. He loves you that much. He'll cook you breakfast, and he'll eat it with you. That's our God. I remember David Horton saying that years and years and years ago. I believe in a God who cooks breakfast and eats fish. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. These guys, those guys in the boat, they needed a fresh revelation of Jesus. They needed a fresh revelation, an encounter of who he was, what he had done in his risen power. They needed a fresh encounter, and Jesus gave it to them. And it's so lovely to hear your testimonies and how some of you this week, even in the midst of all stuff that's been going on and has been hard to handle, that Jesus has met you right at that point of need. And that's what he does. And that's what he wants to continue to do, to encounter us on a daily basis, on a regular basis. The depth of our love for God is the measure of the depth of our encounter with God. Does that make sense? The depth of our love for God is a measure of the depth of our encounter with God. Luke 7, Jesus tells a story. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owned 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had enough money to pay him back. Simon, who was speaking to, replied, Jesus says, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. And then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, you see this woman, Simon? I came into your house, you didn't give me any water for my feet, but she's wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. For whoever has been forgiven little loves little. After Jesus' resurrection, Thomas said, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and I place my finger into the marks of the nails, and I place my hands into his side, I will never believe. And then, of course, Jesus comes to him, shows him his hands and his side, and invites Thomas to touch him. But, of course, Thomas proceeds to see. And then he declares, my Lord, my God. Jesus asks the question, do you love me?
Do you love me? Do you really love me?
If we are to love the Lord in the way that he desires and deserves, then we need to encounter his love for us. Amen? Mm-hmm. We need to encounter his love afresh. It's been lovely. I don't think Eileen would mind if I just mentioned, but a couple of weeks ago, Eileen, I think you shared it more publicly here, didn't you, over the summer. Just this incredible encounter that Eileen had with the Lord a few years ago, was it now, Eileen?
3 years ago,
24th of October. And you said you felt the physical embrace, didn't you? How do you describe it?
I just felt
his arms around him. See, that's not just a revelation, that's an encounter. And we need an encounter, I need an encounter every day with the living God. I need to feel his arms around me, I need to feel his embrace, I need to feel his Holy Spirit with me. I need an encounter with the living God if I'm to love him in the way that he both desires and deserves. In 1 John 4, John writes simply, we love because he first loved us. And it may be that some of us are just trying to love him on our own strength, and we'll run out of gas. We need to ask the Holy Spirit for a fresh encounter with his love. In Romans 5, Paul writes, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians 5, he says that it is Christ's love that compels us. It's Christ's love is the fuel, the gasoline in us that compels us to love and serve others. Brothers and sisters, do we need a fresh encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ? Revelation tells us that the Ephesian church had lost their first love. They've become cold, formal, legalistic, based on works. Have you lost your first love? Has your love for the Lord grown cold? Has it been tested and challenged? And perhaps it's been found wanting. Has your love for the Lord become legalistic? Is it about works? Is it about what you do rather than who he is? Is your love for the Lord more dependent on what is going on in your life or on who he is and what he has done for you? Have circumstances or sin got in the way and robbed you of your love, joy, and peace? Jesus asks the question, not in any condemnatory way, but he knows what lies before us. He's invited us to follow him, and he knows that if we are to follow him, then we need to love him with an agape kind of love, where we say, yes, Lord, you know I love you, and I would even lay down my life for you. Do you love me? Jesus says.